Sometimes we feel like we're wandering around in a desert, and one bad thing after another keeps happening. And you wonder, am I in the will of God?
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is A Voice in the Wilderness and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
A Voice in the Wilderness is today's sermon's title. If you all like to turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and let's all please stand for the reading of God's holy word. I'm reading out of the ESV today. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray, God, that you will anoint me to speak it. Father, I pray that you will open up all of our hearts to receive it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the book of Matthew is starting to take off. We're past the preliminaries, and we are now to the prophet John. In the third chapter, we see that the kingdom of heaven is being announced. This is a very important, significant part of the gospel. A voice deep in the desert came calling to the people of Israel. Scores of them answered the call of God through the prophet John. A new age was beginning, the age of the kingdom of heaven. Understand that when Jesus came on the scene, history was changing forever. This is the big moment. The Old Testament had been promising the Messiah. John the prophet was announcing, hey, guess what? The king is here. The king has arrived. The Messiah is on the spot. He's here. He's here right now. Here he comes. So you better repent because he's on sight. The end is near, nearer than we think, because Jesus has shown up. Okay? So that's what this prophet John was doing. So my first point is the Baptist John. In Matthew 3:1, we read, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea." John the Baptist was not the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. Different guy. Now, I pointed that out because a few people do get that confused. They think maybe he wrote the Gospel of John as well. But no, this is a different John, okay? John was born to devout parents who belonged to the priestly line. They were also well advanced in age when he was born. Now, this could account for the reason why he was out in the desert. There were people out there that would sometimes take in orphans who didn't have parents and raise them out there, okay? And so that could be one of the reasons why he ended up out there in the desert and learning how to live off the land and how to dress for the occasion. Because we learn by his attire and by his diet, he was well suited for desert living. He just wasn't hanging out. He was living there. Okay? John's baptism was one of repentance, not the same as Christian baptism today. In other words, this is before Jesus Christ died for our sins. So what he was telling people was, look, the Messiah is here. And you have to repent from your sins. That means you have to change your direction. You have to change your mind, okay? And the significance of this is that today when you're baptized in Christ, what you are doing is you're doing a symbolic gesture. You are symbolically burying the old self and rising from the grave, which would be the water, would be the significance of that. And you are signifying that you are now a disciple of Christ and you live in Christ. You have a new life. You're born again. You resurrected with Jesus. You are publicly acknowledging Jesus through baptism. If there's somebody in here who has not been baptized, that is something that you should do right away because it is an act of obedience to God. The Lord commands that when you accept Jesus Christ, that you publicly announce it and show it through a baptism, okay? Baptism itself doesn't save you. You could take a bath all you want. It's not getting you to heaven. But it is a symbolic gesture that you are publicly accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and that you are being born again. You are rising from your old self, leaving that behind. But that wasn't the baptism for John, okay? John was more of a turning away from sin. Although John was not born of a virgin, his birth was announced by an angel, signifying God's unique influence over his ministry and life. Now remember, the angel came and told his dad, hey, your wife's going to get pregnant. They couldn't have any kids, and they were old, okay? That's very significant when God sends an angel to announce your birth, that's real important stuff. Wouldn't you agree? No angel announced my birth that I know of. Praise the Lord. But when God sends an angel to go talk to people about you, God's got his hand on you. John was very, very unique because the Lord felt it important enough to send an angel to talk about his birth. John was born to announce the Messiah. That's what his purpose in life was. So my second point is God's kingdom announced. Matthew 2:3 reads, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now this is what John was shouting. The people of John's day had enough sense and enough knowledge of the scriptures to realize that there was a voice coming out of the wilderness shouting this and that it was prophetic. And so they were coming, convicted by the Lord, to come and repent. The main theme of John's message was that the Messiah has arrived. That was the main theme. That's what he was called to do. John was straightforward in his preaching. He told the people what to do and why to do it. Now, what's the what? Repent. Change your mind, change your direction, okay? And why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means to turn away. God wants us to turn away from our sin and toward him. So it's not just enough to say, well, I'm a Christian, okay? You have got to have the repentance to go along with that. You've got to agree with God that you need a Savior, that you are not a good person, that you don't do good things, because that's what the Bible teaches. That's me. I don't do good things according to God. I am not a good person according to God. I am filled with sin and evil until I accept the Lord Jesus Christ and repent, change my direction, change my mind. All sin in one way or another hurts people. Did you know that? every sin that we commit, whether it's private and secret or public, hurts people in one way or another, because God has made creation to all work together, to all rely on one another. All right? All sin leads to temporal joy, temporal satisfaction, temporal happiness, and temporal pleasure. You're not going to get to keep any of those short-term effects of sin. You might be having fun at the time you're doing it. No one is denying that committing sin is not pleasurable at the moment of the time that you're doing it. No one is saying that it's not fun. It just appears to be fun because we don't look at the consequences. We deny the consequences, but we all know if you keep something up long enough, it's going to come back and get you. Only God offers eternal life with all of the above attractions. Sin is a liar. Sin will promise you joy, satisfaction, happiness, and pleasure. And it delivers that in the beginning. But there's a consequence to sin that makes all of that void. Only coming to God do you get those things, and you get them for keeps. Now, when we repent, we change our moral and spiritual attitude concerning God. Now, let's look at that for a moment. Our moral and spiritual attitude. So it doesn't mean that immediately you're a perfect person. You're never going to be perfect. Okay? But God wants an attitude of perfection so that when your attitude is in place, your flesh will line up, hopefully. Now, God is working on me still, so you'll have to be patient, okay? Because I'm not perfect. But I do try to look at the moral and spiritual attitude that I have towards God. And when I do mess up morally and spiritually, I come to Him and I repent. I say, Lord, I was wrong and I'm sorry. Can you help me to do better? Because I don't want to be the person that hurts other people, even though I am that person at times, even though I will be that person again at other times. I hate to bust some of your bubbles, but your pastor is not perfect. So we accept that we are the ones, okay? We accept that we, that's us individually, that's us collectively, are the ones who need to be saved, and that God is the one who saves. Now, you see, I stressed those words, didn't I? I did that on purpose, didn't I? First of all, you got to accept. Nobody can give you anything if you won't take it. You ever go into a store and they're trying to hand you something? Most of the time, you just take it and throw it away, right? When you leave there or you put it in your cart and you forget all about it. And some people won't even take something like a coupon. And so they don't save on any money. They don't save on any deals. Well, God's got a deal for us. He's got a coupon of get out of hell free. But you might accept who Jesus is. You might see in the lives of other people where God has worked through Christ in them and see the fruits. You might accept that. But that's only part of it. Because then you got to realize that you need to be saved. That you are not self-righteous. That you can't do it on your own, and that God is the one that does all the work. You can't earn your way. And that is what repentance is all about. But in order to get to that point, you got to have a moral and spiritual attitude concerning God and not concerning yourself, not concerning the world, not concerning other people. You got to be having your attitude and your morals concerning God. Because I don't care what everybody else is doing. I know that's an excuse that we use today. Well, everybody else is doing it. Why can't I do it? Well, if it's morally wrong and spiritually wrong, and it's not concerning what God wants for you, don't do it. And if you are doing it, stop. It's not good for you. It's not good for other people. And it's not repenting. Amen? Praise God. Now, the kingdom of heaven has come near to people in the person of Jesus, the Messiah. The kingdom of heaven has come near to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And John was trying to tell people this, hey, the kingdom of heaven is here. God himself has manifested himself into flesh and blood and wants to walk among us. The Father forgives us because he took his wrath out on Jesus Christ, his most precious gift that he could give us, a gift from heaven, heaven itself. God is heaven. Okay? He's the kingdom of heaven. He is what we're striving for. We're not going to work. We're not working or praying or hoping or using religion to get to a place. We are accepting Christ to be with a person. That person is Jesus Christ. That person is God. We can't get there if we don't repent, because we have to accept. When you go to live with somebody, you go to live by their rules. Amen? You don't move into somebody's house and tell them how to live in their own house, do you? They'll throw you out, won't they? And if they find out you're not going to live by their rules, they won't even let you in. So what happens if you don't live by God's rules? Because you never repented. And the repentance is, you need a savior. You need God to save you. If that's the one thing that you cannot accept, that's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, and that's the unforgivable sin. That means you're not accepting, you're not believing, you're rejecting, and God will give you exactly what you want. Exclusion in his kingdom of heaven. And listen, the opposite of heaven is what? Now you're figuring it out, aren't you? If you are not willing to live with God, then you got to go somewhere else to live when you die, right? And if you're not living in heaven, where are you going to live? Amen. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible teaches. And I could say I don't like it all day long, but it doesn't change the fact that it's real, that it's true, that it's reality. So if I don't accept it, then I end up exactly where I want to be, away from God. And away from God is what? Amen. That's it right there. If you don't want to live by somebody's rules, then you sit out on the street or you live somewhere else, but you don't live with that person. Praise God. 3, preparing the way. Matthew 3, verse 3 says, "For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" In this verse, John is quoting Isaiah 40, verse 3. "A voice cries in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" This is what John was quoting. He was quoting the prophet Isaiah. John fulfilled many prophecies. One in particular is Malachi 4, verse 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." Is that the same name as John? Why is God saying, "I will send you Elijah"? Now that's confusing, isn't it? But if you seek, you shall find. Understand that the Lord sometimes speaks in roundabout ways in the Bible to get you looking things up, to get you thinking, to get you meditating, to get you contemplating his personality. Why? Because he wants to teach you something about himself. John came in the spirit of Elijah. John versus Elijah. And this is what God is talking about. Both were men of the desert. You see the similarities? Both withdrew themselves from mainstream society. They didn't want a part of the world. They wanted to live apart from mainstream society with all of its influences and live a life close to God. It's hard to do that when you're living in the mainstream. The mainstream can block out the presence of God in your life. Both wore the clothing of the desert. So when people saw how this man was dressed, they knew something was up. Both shattered the prophetic silence of many years and spoke on behalf of God. Understand that God hadn't been talking for a long time to the people of Israel. Israel had been running amok, doing their own thing, getting super religious and getting nowhere spiritually. And then here comes John shouting, "Repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near." Well, they woke up a few people. Amen. Both had fiery personalities and boldness. Let me tell you what, it took fire to preach repentance in a time where the Roman Empire was influencing the culture. It took boldness to stand up against the political heads at the time that with just a word could have you executed. We need more preachers like that today. We need more Christians like that today that will speak out against sin, that will speak out against political wrongs. We need more Johns today. Both were fearlessly confronted the religious leaders of their times. Now, remember John, he confronted Herod about taking his brother's wife. He called out sin. He called sin what it was to Herod. You guys remember Herod? You remember how bad the Herods are? John spoke out about him taking his own brother's wife for his own. Adultery. Adultery is so common in America now, nobody thinks twice about it hardly. And it's sad because John called it out and he got his head chopped off for it, which we will read about. I know you can't wait for that chapter. Both put their lives on the line by confronting the political leaders of their day. Both fell into despair and doubted God. We're going to read that John was imprisoned and that he was awaiting to be executed by having his head cut off. We're going to read how he comes to Jesus with his disciples asking, "Are you the one or should we expect another?" We're going to read about that, but before we do, let me tell you something. There's times in your life where it looks real bad. And you've been doing everything you possibly can in the obedience of God. You're trying to live a godly life, not to please God to get to heaven, but so that you can live a peaceful life, so that you can live a rewarding life, so that you can live a blessed life. But then, in the service of God, a tragedy happens, and you have to question, did I hear right from God? Because my world has fallen apart and I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. John was there. He went through a very, very extreme time of doubt. Sometimes we feel like we're wandering around in a desert and that we're working super hard in our ministries, whatever God has called you to do. And one bad thing after another keeps happening. Or things aren't happening at all. Or one real bad thing happens. And you wonder, am I in the will of God? Well, John was. He just couldn't see what was happening. So Jesus sent a message. And he said, tell him that the blind have sight and that the sick are healed and that the dead are risen. Show him and tell him what's going on to give him some hope. See, sometimes God will place you in a place in life where you don't see the results of your ministry. You don't see it because you're not in place to see it. But that doesn't mean that you're not making an impact. That doesn't mean that God is not using you somehow, some way. It does mean that God doesn't have to explain himself to you. It does mean that you're called for a sacrificial life in front of God to serve him any way he deems to use you. Now, in today's society, that's the wrong kind of preaching, isn't it? To be used by someone. But listen, God sent his son to die for you, which means that he bought you out of hell. He bought you out of the grips of death. So you owe him a life. And that life must be sacrificial now. Number four, bugs and honey for dinner. Sounds delicious, don't it? Everybody just lick your chops right now. I know I'm getting y'all hungry. Our last part of this is Matthew chapter 3, verses 4 and 6 now. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Ugh. Man. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John's clothes were simple and practical for desert living. I guess he figured if the camels were doing okay in the desert, why, he would just take their clothes and wear them. So somewhere out there, there's a poor camel without any clothes. Pray for him. The honey John ate would have given him life-sustaining energy. There's a lot of nutrients in honey. It's good for you, I hear. And he was smart enough to know that it was good for him. You're going to need a lot of energy out there preaching as hard as he was preaching, right? And running from the Herod guards, you know. The locusts were plentiful in that region and would have given John plenty of protein. Now, as gross as it might sound, these little bugs, well, I don't know if they were little or not, they must have been crunchy and munchy. They were the desert's potato chips, all right? And John was enjoying them with a little bit of honey. I'm sure that was his dip, right? Woo, oh, those golden locusts. Yeah. So the locusts were plentiful in that region and would have given John plenty of protein. Now, understand, you're out there in that desert. It's dry. It's hot. It's, oh, man, it's miserable. And the last thing you want to do is fill up on cupcakes, right? Like we have here today, cupcakes. Last thing you want to do is fill up on fattening food. That's going to make you tired and hot and worn out. No, he was eating a mean, lean diet to make it in the desert. Now, this lines up with Leviticus. Okay, this is the book of the law here, one of them. Leviticus 11, verses 21 and 22. God gave permission about the locust. He said, yet among the winged insects that go on all fours, you may eat those that have jointed legs above their feet with which to hop on the ground. Of them you may eat the locust of any kind, the bald locust of any kind, the cricket of any kind, and the grasshopper of any kind. Now we can go back and we can look at this and say, wow, thanks God. That's delicious. I really appreciate that diet. But if you were lost in the desert, and the only one that could get you out was God, and he told you what to eat, you'd be like, "Woo, this is some good stuff. Give me some more honey on that." And I'm sure they ate more honey with it than they did the locust. I'm sure they had a little locust with a lot of honey. I know I would be. Man. But it does line up biblically. This is what God told them that they were able to eat. And he was giving them a diet because he was trying to get them to be strong and healthy, so that they could survive the desert climate, because it was not an easy place to live at. Scores of people came out to the desert to hear God's message through John, and they even got baptized in the chilly waters of the Jordan River. Now, as hot as the desert was, here's a running river that could be cold, okay? And you have to give these people credit, because listen, it wasn't easy going out to the desert to hear a preacher. Some people can't walk across the street to a church that's across from their home to make it, to hear God's word. Let's be honest. Am I right? Come on, guys. You want to sleep in? People want to sleep in now? I'll catch them next Sunday. Next Sunday might be too late. God may have had something to say to you today. Scores of people in John's day not only had to walk further than across the street, but they had to go out to the wilderness where this guy was. See, what happened was a few people heard about this preaching. They went back to town and they said, hey, there's a guy out there talking about the kingdom of heaven coming. And this guy resembles Elijah, just like it says in the prophets. What? Well, I want to go check this guy out because God could be saying something. Anytime God is calling you and talking and wanting to say something to you, your ears should perk up and you should do everything you can to get to the place where God is speaking. Now, in today's world, God, you know, I know he speaks through your job. He speaks through your friends. He speaks through the TV. He speaks through the radio. He speaks through music. But the one place God wants you to come and listen to him is your church. And not just from me, but from other believers. See, when you leave here today, you guys are going to go out into the world. And I won't be there with you to pray. Now, I'll be praying for you here, okay? But I'm not going to be aware of some of the things as they happen to you during the week. And some things are going to happen to some people in this church this week. Because the world out there is hard, isn't it? And if it wasn't, you wouldn't be here. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to take all your problems away, because guess what? He's not. But he did promise that through your problems, he will be there with you. But here's the catch. God can be with you all you desire him to be. But are you with God? This is a principle that I had to learn. If I want to feel the presence of God, I've got to give him some of myself back. I've got to pray to him. I've got to worship him. I've got to read his word. I got to go where I can hear him. That means that I got to be around godly people. Church is the one place that God has given you in this day and age that you can escape all of that, come in here, and have people who love, fear, respect, and worship Christ to be surrounding you, to be praying with you, to be comforting you. And even if your problem doesn't dissipate, you got people that really do love and care about you. Terry and I can tell you, we really care about everybody that's in here. We really do. And then there's other people that also care about you that are in here. I can't speak for everybody. But here's the thing. When tragedy strikes, when hardships come, when disappointment happens, you don't have to be there alone speaking to someone who doesn't have a clue about who Jesus is. You can come and you can call us. You can call one another. You can come here for prayer. That's what church is all about. And John, in his day, the people wanted to hear what God had to say. And I want that heart for God here in this church. I want people so anxious to get here on Wednesdays and Sundays, not because of me. I'm nobody. But because you believe that the Lord is speaking to you a message about his word, a teaching about himself, so that you can better get to know him, so that you could become interested enough to pick up your Bible every day and read about this person named Jesus Christ, and he can introduce himself personally to each and every one of us. Amen. Now, in conclusion, I want to say that God called his people to repentance through John, and now he calls us through his son, Jesus Christ. There's no more prophets. There's no more revelation. The Bible has been written. There's no more adding or taking away from that book. Okay? There's Jesus Christ, and God is calling all of us through him. God is asking us all to repent and leave sin and choose him as our way of thinking, as our way of behaving, as our way of life, and as our way to eternal life.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.